132669, United States versus Gorey. And it is Mr. Henderson. Good morning, Mr. Henderson. Still morning.
Still morning, Your Honor. We just got in under the bell.
By the time you finish, you won't be.
I'll try to be brief.
He might be short.
No. You do what you have to do.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. This case is very interesting, I think, as an application of really basic fundamental principles of conspiracy law and aiding and abetting liability. What I think distinguishes this from many, many conspiracy cases is we essentially have two actors here. And at least in our view, and I think the government disagrees, but I'm going to proceed on that initially. In our view, the only conspiracy that would be possible here would be between Mr. Gorey and Vanessa Woods. When you have two-person conspiracies, the elements
of... Give me the definition of conspiracy.
Well, the definition of conspiracy, the elements, at least, that the government has to prove...
Give me the definition of conspiracy.
Right, would be two or more people agreeing to commit a crime.
Okay, what's the big deal on two?
Well, the big deal on two is that we have to be very precise as to what the agreement is.
You mean that proof is more difficult if there's two of them than there would if there had been ten?
I think there is, and this is the reason. And one,
it'd be fascinating to hear it.
Right. There are limits to conspiracy liability.
Oh, yeah.
The one that the court has repeatedly kind of emphasized has been this buyer-seller agreement. This isn't a buyer-seller case. Yeah. But what those cases point out is buyer-seller is these two people. And we have to be very precise about what's the agreement between these two people. In a buyer-seller context, the agreement is not further distribution of drugs. This is not a conspiracy to further
That's
distribute the drugs.
Matter.
It's just a sales agreement.
But isn't it clear from his admissions to the agent who interviewed him that he understood what the nature of these transactions was and he was there to provide security, if nothing else.
Right.
Why isn't that alone enough?
Well, that goes to knowledge, right? But the elements of conspiracy, again, we have to know what the agreement is. Not just that you know of an agreement.
He's helping her by providing the muscle, right? To get 0.75 kilo in just over a week, right?
Right.
Okay. Can we presume intent to distribute?
No, I don't think that we can.
From 0.75 kilo in 7 or 8 days?
I think because the agreement, assuming the light and most favorable to the government, the agreement between Woods and Gorey is Vanessa Woods is going to Chicago to purchase crack cocaine with intent to distribute. That's her intent. What's Mr. Gorey's intent? Mr. Gorey's intent is to help her achieve that purpose.
Well, if that isn't conspiracy...
And if that isn't conspiracy, I may be way off base. What I'm trying to get at is this very nebulous idea, because the agreement... And this is where I was starting out with a multiple-person conspiracy. When you have multiple people, let's say there are five people, if four people are conspiring to do something... The fifth person who comes in and provides support, provides as a bodyguard, provides some sort of assistance to the conspiracy. They are a conspirator. Not because they meet the first element, which is that there's an agreement. There's obviously an agreement. Their part is that they know about the agreement and they willingly participate in the agreement. When there's two people, we have to establish in the first instance what the agreement is. And our contention, at least, and this is fleshed out in our brief, is that the agreement between Mr. Gorey and Woods was nothing more than an agreement to help Ms. Woods. Knowledge alone doesn't get you to conspiracy. I think that the court in Johnson laid out some of these principles, and our essential claim is, as a matter of law, there's a reasonable doubt as to what Mr. Gorey's role in this was.
Well, because how can there be a reasonable doubt when he himself said what his role is? I'm the muscle. She's afraid to do a drug deal by herself.
Right, but that doesn't establish his specific intent to possess with intent to distribute.
To drugs. Help her possess with intent
and
to distribute.
And that's criminal liability. There's no question about it. That's aiding and abetting.
It's not either or.
Right. Well, and the other contention that we've made is essentially when you're talking about conspiracy and aiding and abetting, they overlap. There's no doubt about it. I think in the government's view, they are entirely the same.
Did you try the case, Mr. Henderson?
No, I've just been appointed on appeal.
You're here appointment
right.
After.
That's right.
You're a good man.
Thank you, Judge. But I'm trying to flesh out where's the limit of a conspiracy. And so we would just submit that based on this record, if knowingly knowledge is not enough, aiding is not enough. What the court said in Zafira is the extra thing that transformed this into aiding and abetting from that into conspiracy is the agreement. And Professor Lefebvre says, you know, this is where it gets tricky with conspiracy law, because you have to have, when there's an agreement to commit a criminal act, you have to have specific intent as to the criminal act itself. And there's no indication and no evidence presented that Mr. Gorey had any interest in that crack. He had an interest in Woods, in helping her, but he had no interest in distributing the crack further, in profiting from this at all. I think there's a real lack of interest on his part that would point to or allow the jury to make a reasonable inference about his agreement to possess with intent to distribute crack. It's clear he agreed to drive her to Chicago. He agreed to stand by as the drug transaction took place. Our contention is that that's not a conspiracy. That's aiding and abetting. So on those grounds, we'd ask to vacate the judgment. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Huckstrom. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Eric Huckstrom. I represent the appellee of the United States. while the appellant's argument and the fine distinction that they're making is interesting, the problem with it is that it is foreclosed by the law. This court has repeatedly upheld drug conspiracy convictions in cases involving each of the essential aspects of the defendant's conduct here, namely providing security for drug deals, providing transportation to and from drug deals, and helping to evade detection from law enforcement in relation to drug deals. As Your Honor noted, the defendant himself admitted, and the jury heard the testimony of the agents as to the defendant's statement, that he agreed to accompany Ms. Woods for the purpose expressly of providing security for the drug deal, and that he knew how much crack cocaine was involved and that it was crack cocaine. And he further admitted that after the fact, he directed her in her flight from law enforcement and that he personally disposed of the crack cocaine himself. On top of all of this, the jury saw and heard evidence about his physical presence in the midst of the drug deals, his conversations with the broker, Christopher Gavin, during the drug deals, and evidence that he passed money to Vanessa Woods, who in turn passed it to Christopher Gavin. In light of hearing all this evidence, the jury's conclusion that the defendant knowingly joined an agreement to possess with intent to distribute crack cocaine was a rational one, and for that reason, we would respectfully ask this court to affirm the judgment below. If the court has no further questions, I'll...
And it's still morning.
I got you there.
Come on.
I have
nothing further. Well, the case will be taken under advisement in that case, and we will recess until tomorrow morning at 9:30. And
I won't be here.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you very much.